This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is iFanboy Pick of the Week, episode 799, brought to you by the Second Print Comics Podcast and iFanboy listeners just like you, just making their world through this hellscape as best they can.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land.
Hey, welcome to iFanboy Pick of the Week, episode 799, which is a dizzying number. I am Josh Flanagan, and Connor is gone this week, and I was trying to remember why, and then I did, but I don't have a whole bit. And with me is my pal, my guest host, Jim Viscardi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
There's a whole thing where I have friends that I don't get to talk to unless I put them on a podcast, and... That's just what this world is now, and yep. I appreciate it. I take it when I can get it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I contemplated, and this is going to be a weird of a deep cut, but if there's wrestling fans out there, they'll get this.
Sure.
Eric Bischoff, when he came to WWE, had a phenomenal entrance song that was basically like, I'm back, and it was great. And I was going to play that, but I didn't want you guys to get in trouble, so I didn't play that.
I mean,
but just imagine that happened.
Okay.
And
I don't fully understand the relevance of that. I mean, I know everything you're saying. Like, I understand who he is. He came around. There's an intro song. Yeah. But if I were to hear it, I would have no sense memory.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
That's fine.
But $7.99.
I know.
I wish Connor was out for $800.
Well,
Connor, just if you're listening, just be out for $800.
Well,
I'll be here.
That record, that's a multi-hour
I know it's a
live
special.
Show.
I know it's a special.
Where I'm gonna have to stay up very late, and then the next morning's hell. It is fun at the time, but I know I'm gonna have to pay for it afterwards. So listen, iFanboy is this podcast. Every week we read our stack of comics. Oh, by the way, Jim, you're from comicbook.com.
That's right.
That's true. He's
thing that I do.
You're a mogul. Would you say, are you a mogul?
Yeah, sure.
No one ever gets to call themselves that.
I'm going to add that to my bio on Twitter.
Mogul. Every week we read a stack of comic books, digital or physical, there or otherwise. One of us picks the one they like best. They call that the pick of the week. That is the book. That's the best book That's the one we like best. Maybe not objectively, but definitely subjectively. We're going to talk about other books. We will talk about a patron pick, which is a different book. We will answer some listener mail if we have time. We aim for it to be a good time for you and a good time for us. There will be spoilers if we were talking about the things that happened in the book and you haven't read them. That's on you, pal. And this week, this is maybe the first time you've had it, but I'm giving Jim the pick.
I've been a listener to this show for a very long time. Okay.
Okay.
And every time that I have been asked to guest host, I have always thought in the back of my head, maybe this will be the week. Maybe this will be the week I get the pick. And for I've done the show a few times now.
Sure.
No picks.
Well, I think today. Only recently did we realize that we could do that. Relatively so. Like he's like one time Connor was like I gave it to Ryan. I was like,
I don't
want
to be in that position to ask, right? Because then that feels gauche.
I understand. Oh,
like it's your show. You guys get the pick.
Honestly, maybe I might have been offended.
See, that's it. And then it just ruins the whole flow. Like then, like, do I still do the show? Do I not do? Do I step away because I've made it weird? Like so when you said, Jim, you can have the pick today. I, no joke, got up out of my chair in my home office, went upstairs to my wife's home office and said, you will not believe what I get to do.
Really? Because what I remember you saying is, well, let me look at the books. And I was like, no. We don't get to cherry pick.
I thought it was a trap in the sense that like you had already looked at the books and said, oh, I don't want to pick this week. This is not a good week. And I was like, oh, well, hold on. Because I got to pick the pick of the week during a bad week. That's not fun. I've listened to this show during bad weeks. Like you guys don't like those weeks. And so, but when I realized it was a good week, went upstairs, told my wife, and she was very excited for me. So there's a lot.
That's nice. You know, most of the time that story ends with the wife or whoever, significant other going, whatever.
I'm sure there was some of that. I may be embellished, but it felt good. Anyway, Moon Knight number 3, that's the pick, because this book, this series so far, has been really good.
Hmm.
And
you're like a Moon Knight guy.
That's the thing. There's a lot of not good Moon Knight out there, okay?
One might almost say there's more not good Moon Knight than good Moon Knight.
Yep, no, yes. Over 200 issues, maybe 30 of them are good. I'm really enjoying this run, and I think it also seems to be weird, and we'll talk about this as we go through, but it felt like a lot of this current to some a lot of these this week's books are what it means to be a hero and how to be a hero in a sense. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, you know, comes through in Moon Knight number 3. So obviously story by Jed MacKay, art by Alessandro Cuppicchio, color Rochelle Rosenberg, and letters by Corey Pettit. Basically what has happened, there was a Moon Knight story that happened in Avengers where Khonshu, you know, the moon god, basically tried to use Moon Knight to, you know, rule the world, kind of did it. And then Mark Spector realized, I don't want to be used. I'm in a bad relationship. I need to do this on my own. And the thing with Moon Knight is that basically anytime someone recent, you know, modernly, right? So basically from the, I probably say starting with Bendis and then, you know, kind of working forward. Obviously you got the Ellis and then the,
Did Bendis do a Moon Knight run?
Did with Alex Maleev. Where okay. instead of having the three different personalities of Mark Spector and Jake Lockley and Stephen Grant, it was Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Captain America as his, multiple personalities basically. And so a writer always comes in and tries to play with that, and then and to any extent does it in varying degrees of success. But the modern Moon Knight stuff has been really, really interesting to read. Really, you know, obviously starting with the introduction of Mr. Knight, you know, from Ellis and Chavely, and really, but a lot of, you know, the cool stuff was done by Lemire kind of later on in that run. And what Jed McKay is doing in this series is really kind of cherry picking a lot of the best aspects of past runs and mixing them together to, you know, to kind of do his own thing, where now you have Moon Knight kind of back to his vigilante roots, wanting to be a protector, and in a sense, you know, kind of running his own ministry on the side, basically. But he's always, he's never been challenged in a way. Like his rogues gallery is awful. And the concept that's brought up in here, where obviously, you know, Moon Knight is the Fist of Khonshu, and Jed brings this concept of like, well, Khonshu's got two fists. And so if, you know, one of them is not necessarily doing the work, then the other one will. And that's, you know, obviously what brings in the villain of Hunter's Moon, which I don't know. The voice that Jed is using for Moon Knight in this book is really interesting. It's sharp, it's witty, but also like the supporting cast in this book, where he has a vampire assistant. Like vampires are now, you know, growing in the Marvel universe.
They are, aren't they?
They really are. Like, I remember when like Marvel at one point said, we're going to make vampires big again. And that felt like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 10 years ago. But now that it doesn't feel forced anymore and whatever. And now it is a thing. But when you mix that with, like, Moon Knight has had phenomenal artists.
Yeah. That's the thing that I've noticed since, you know, from Shalvey to, Brian Smallwood. Is that right?
Yeah. Greg Smallwood.
Yep, Greg Smallwood. Cause Brian Wood wrote it. And I remember, like, I didn't read that series. I just looked at the art.
Yeah, even before that, right? Like, you've got, I mean, like, Alex Maleev did the Bendis stuff. You had, I mean, look, a young Jerome Pena did the Vengeance of Moon Knight run, which is
that.
Phenomenal. And then, you know, I guess folks mostly is, like, the Civil War era or what, you know, rebooted the modern Moon Knight. Even had David Finch, right? Like, so, like, it's, Moon Knight has kind of been, I don't want to say he's like Daredevil in the sense, you know, but like he has had great artists a lot. And Alessandro Capuccio, I hope I'm saying that right, is just so good in this. Like it is the talking head scenes don't feel like, you know, they don't feel too repetitive. The action feels kinetic. And then when you just layer on Rochelle Rosenberg's color palette, who I love everything that she colors. It's just like her use of greens and purples and oranges, just, you know, they feel like they feel like modern 90s coloring. And, and I just love it. And so it's been a lot of fun. It's a great, like I said, it's a great mix of a lot of the stuff that has come before. And honestly is a phenomenal starting point for anyone, like, you know, Moon Knight's got a lot of buzz. He's got a show coming out, and, you know, book comes at a perfect time. And like I said, just this issue, the first two issues felt like a lot of setup, and this third one has really kind of takes everything that I feel is good about this book and puts it into 20 pages. And you really don't have to have read the first two. I feel like if you just came into this picked it up off the shelf, you'd be fine.
Yes.
Which to me is a sign of a great comic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really liked, oh Christ, was it Max Bemis?
Yep. I don't
know how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. He did that run with Jason Burroughs, I want to say.
Jason Burroughs, yep.
I really liked that. That's probably my favorite of the latter day ones. And I think for me, the problem with Moon Knight is always that, like, he gets rebooted all the time, so you never know what you're going to get. And so I don't ever find the need to invest in it very much, because the next time a person comes along, they're going to change it. And they can do that under the auspices of saying, well, he has multiple personality disorder, so it's always different. And I was like, well, that sucks. And so I like, it'd be cool if one of them stuck for, and every character goes through that. Stephen Strange goes through that, you know, but with Moon Knight, it's like every six issues, it's a different thing. And I find that it makes him like Hawkman. It's like Hawkman with the best artists. That's what Moon Knight is for Marvel. And so I like this. I'm still reading it. I don't love it, but I don't know if that's just me. I don't know. I don't have enough quite there to not make me wary of it, I guess.
Yep.
Like I want to get my bearings, and I never quite feel like I have my bearings with the character. The other thing being, like, I really think I liked that last arc. Who was on this before McKay? Was that?
That was Bemis. That was the Bemis.
Okay, that was the last one I read, and I really liked that. Yep. And that was it. And now it's another thing. And I'm like, well, stop, change it. Stop. Don't change the thing I liked.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think there are aspects of that Moon Knight in this. And I think once this book really starts to get cooking, look, Moon Knight is never a book that usually gets long runs.
No.
But I feel like there's a lot being laid here that if they do, it could.
Yeah, so. and you've got a writer here who can tell a story over a long period of time and build up the characters and you know give you something to latch on to.
Yeah, I know. Let's say this for Jed McKay. I think Jed McKay is one of Marvel's true kind of rising stars. Like he's done a lot of just kind of like under the radar books. His Black Cat is probably one of the most underrated books.
It's really good. And that's a character I've never cared about either. And it's
right.
And that was the same thing as I picked up issue, five or seven, and I had not been reading it. And I was like, this is great. It didn't matter that I hadn't been reading it. And it was just the same thing you're just talking about.
Yeah.
He's got something good going on there with the Marvel voice and all that stuff. So you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that wouldn't have been the pick of the week if anybody else had been doing the show. So I think that means that you made people happy. And I don't even mean to say I didn't like it. I did like it. I'm reading it. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't have kept reading it. But it's cool. I like that it means something to somebody in a way that I don't even think of. Last week, there was Fantastic Four 435, which was a giant, I think it was like 100 pages. And so I was a little like, oh, come on, you just did this last week. And now there's 36. And this is sort of back to where we were. Which is actually fine because this Fantastic Four run has just been—it's been my favorite Fantastic Four run that I can remember, and it just keeps going that way.
Especially with this issue in particular, I just feel it deals with real life stuff and feels really authentic. To the characters, the situations that they're in and beyond. And like, I did not expect that from this run.
And
to be honest,
it is doing the thing where it toes the line of goofy and then serious, like melodrama and then sort of madcap fun and silly stuff. And like, this was a heavy issue and, you know, he's been all over the place, but it always sort of fits. When I say he, I mean Dan Slott writing them. And then at the same time, what you have is the illusion of forward progress in these people's characterizations. You know, like, oh, they're actually growing and changing. And they're not, because they don't. But, you know, for the time being, you've got, Ben and Alicia have the Kree-Skrull children. And, you know, you've got this soulmate thing that Johnny's had since, the beginning of at least early in the arc. You know, it all is coming together and playing out in that sort of ongoing soap opera thing. And in this one, you have, the stakes. Johnny keeps getting hotter. So from the very silly stuff that happened at Doom's wedding, which was fantastic, like, the outcome of it is that Doom screwed him up. You know, and it's a problem in all sorts of ways, and it's a metaphor. And then the Sky is very hurt, and then Ben is right there. Like, just all of the things that I have just said took place in 20 pages, elegantly.
Yep.
It's been so fun, and Nico Leon as a guest artist on this, like, this is wonderful. What a great artist!
Really good.
Yeah, and you don't expect to see it. And then, and even right down to the, I don't know who Dono Sanchez Almara is on colors, but the colors were perfect. The sort of glowing of the overheated Johnny Storm, you know, and the contrast of the cool colors around him. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Super fun book. I honestly, I don't know that anybody who has held my attention on Fantastic Four for this long, long time.
I legitimately laughed out loud at the conversation Alicia had in the park and we're just like, I never thought being a mom was going to be so challenging. She goes, I swear, Alicia, if you pull out the blind card, and I was like, oh shit. Okay. She goes, my kids have unique needs. You just described every child on earth. And just like to cap that off with like, yeah, okay, but mine are from other planets. Like it's a very, it feels like a very natural kind of conversation that every parent has had.
But there's a dinosaur there for no reason, and I'm cool with
that too. Love a good devil dinosaur appearance.
Yep, that's a good time. What happened actually in the middle panel of that? The lady like folds over, yeah, like Total Recall, 2 weeks. Like, what is that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay, so I didn't. Okay, that's good that you didn't.
Yep.
That I'm not alone. Yeah. That was weird. But you almost, if you just ignored it, it still played. What do you mean by that? By what? I don't know. Okay, so maybe that's a seed. Maybe that's me not knowing that I followed up on something else. Doesn't matter though, because to me that's like, that's Marvel. That's Marvel Comics. That's what I want in these serialized books. Like, just put some weird shit in there and come back to it, or don't and wonder about it forever. That's cool too.
Right.
Oh, it's been so good. It's so great to look forward to a Fantastic Four book. I've wanted to do that my whole life. And like, I'll have bits of it, but like a little while, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't think that these Hickman books are fun. That's me on every Hickman book ever. I'm an outlier.
No, like, that's fair.
I think I
don't. Yeah, I mean, like, look, the good thing that we got out of the Hickman run though on Fantastic Four is what we have now with Franklin and Valeria.
Yeah.
I think he forced them to grow up a bit more, and now I really like these characters are not just little kids anymore. Yeah. Like they're you know, like there's that, just that scene where, you know, with Franklin in the beginning, just, you know, coming up with what seemed like a pretty great idea,
right.
And Sue just being, you just want your powers back.
Trying to be smooth, and there's a lot there. There's a lot on that page, actually. Yeah. You know, Dan Slott's doing really intricate work, I think.
This reminds me of just some of the best stuff that he did when he was on Spider-Man. Like, I was very hit or miss with his Spider-Man stuff. Like, it seemed like every other arc I was really into, like almost like clockwork. It was really weird. But what Slott does well is, you know, just building on a lot of those like interpersonal relationships and just those personal moments. And like, that's where I feel like Fantastic Four just feels like that perfect kind of book for him. Yeah. So
I just hope people are reading this and enjoying it. And he does one of those super long runs because it's been real good for me. Where are you in the Alien world? Alien?
I've got like zero affinity to Alien.
Okay. Fair.
Almost none. Like I know that they exist. I did like when Marvel, you know, got the license for it and whatever and started doing it. I picked it up mainly because I feel like this is the perfect kind of book for Salvador La Roca, and it is.
It is. You're not wrong.
It is. And so that's what got me. I still don't fully understand or appreciate the stuff that's going on in the book, but
have you seen the movies?
I have.
Right. I mean, there's not really a reason to see all them. There's two movies and then a bunch of other things that are sort of optional.
Right.
That doesn't say that is, like, I like them all. Like, I don't even hate the ones that people hate, but like the sort of core 2, 3, 4 of them, you know, I'm kind of cool with. Anyway, I think that this is the kind of thing. This happened over at Dark Horse too. This book is no different than if it was being published at Dark Horse, which isn't the same with Star Wars. Like the Star Wars books at Marvel are very different than the Star Wars books that were going on at Dark Horse, but they would do Alien stuff at Dark Horse, and this was like a good Dark Horse Alien book. It's pretty much the same deal. You know, that said, I think you're right. Salvador La Roca, an artist who I have not particularly liked on things. He's great for this. He was great on Darth Vader as well, for whatever reason.
There are just some books where his style just friggin' works. Yeah.
And others where it does not.
Yes.
So I thought that the end of the last issue, number 6, I was like, oh, that'll be it. That'll be the miniseries. And then 7 came out, and I was like, I thought that story was over. And I guess this is ongoing. I had no idea. I mean, it could stop at any point, but we have like a whole other thing now done by the same people. At the end of the last story, you had the father who had come back from the alien world and had abandoned his children, and then his kid got a xenomorph in him, and everybody died except for the kid and Bishop, and they got back to Earth, and like, you know, that's the indefinable ending. Like, oh, something could still go wrong. And in this, we completely shift gears, and we're on some terraformed moon where these, I don't know, Mormon-like characters have, you know, gone there, and they're supposed to get the world after it's finished terraforming. They'll finally have a home for them, which doesn't make any sense, because who would pay for the terraforming and then just give it to the people? Whatever. they're finally going to reach their paradise. So of course, a ship lands and it's full of aliens, because that's what happens. You know, straight up alien story. But I look forward to this book. I see that a new alien issue comes out. I go, great, it's an alien book, and that like that shouldn't be. It's because, you know, it's been done so many times and over, but Philip Kennedy Johnson is one of those names that, not unlike Jed MacKay, that when I see, I go, oh, this will be worth looking at. I have no idea who he is. I don't know where he came from. Mm. I just know that he's done a handful of books that were pretty darn good. And, you know, this is, it's a really good translation of a film property into a comic book format.
Yeah.
You know, like you've taken that, which is the thing you're actually seeing on the Marvel Star Wars books too. Just like in a way to serialize the story and make it different, but still fit in the idea of the other one. So are you reading, you've been reading it all along?
I read issues 5 and 6, and then went back to read the first couple, and I was like, oh, okay. And then, I wasn't going to read this issue. But then when I saw it, I was like, well, let me give it one more shot. And I'm probably out.
That's fair.
But I do like seeing La Roca draw those xenomorphs though.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I will flip through them probably.
So
every once in a while.
Does it make you like, do you ever get like, man, I want to watch that first Alien movie again? Or is that just not your thing? No.
Nope, just not in my thing. No.
It came on for me later. Like I remember at one point I saw, I don't know, I'd seen Alien before. And then one point when I was a little older, I watched it. And I went, oh, this was the year after Star Wars. And it looks like this. And that got me. And like I realized like it's you know, it's got one of the best pitch lines. I don't know if it happened, if it's apocryphal, but it was like the guy just went, Jaws in space. Okay. You know, but I just love how that movie looks. And then you get to the second one, Aliens. So their marketing sucked back then, but it made it so much cooler. we put an S on it. All right. Good luck differentiating that in a marketplace. But you know, and that's just an action movie. Like they have nothing to do with one another. And it can be very silly and fun. And anyway, I'm glad that there's a good comic for it. Who knew?
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm sure you are reading United States of Captain America.
I am.
What's your take on it?
Man, at first I was like, how are they going to tell an ongoing story here with the premise at first?
Yes.
And here we are 4 issues in, and I'm like, there's a good story here. Just the way that they have been able to connect it all together, totally surprised. Like, just it has surprised me, and totally surprised me, and it's like, you know, in a derogatory way. Like, I just didn't know what to expect from this book. I kind of expected it to be a bit more of an anthology, and you know, just the first two issues I read, I was like, oh no, I like this. And then I continued to read it. I'm like, oh no, I really like what's going on here. Mm. And this issue was no different, but I think like this issue probably did the most for me to get excited for like the next issue. The like up to this point of like, yeah, I'm going to keep reading, but I got to the end of this. I'm like, oh no, I would like to see what happens next much sooner than I have to wait.
Well, so we're talking about issue number 4. I don't know if I said
issue
that.
Issue 4.
But, you know, I've loved pretty much everything Christopher Cantwell's done for Marvel. And his other books as well, but just specific as we're talking about this. And at first I thought, I don't want an anthology for all this. And I think that this was the issue where it came together as a thing. And I was like, okay, this I recognize as a Captain America story, you know, that sort of works in the book. And I don't remember if it was last issue or this issue, but when Bucky showed up, I was like, oh, that makes more sense. It's more balanced to have the three of them there. Mm-hmm. And then you'd bring in this other person. Because before it was just like, we're going to this town. Look at this crazy guy. Let's go to the next town. Let's look at this crazy guy. You know, and that is not interesting to me. And also, it if there's anything about it that I think it's leading a little bit with like, look at all these different people. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It can be a little on the nose.
That only gets you so far. Like, you know, it's not really inclusion or diversity if you're just like, you know, not white person of the week. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean like you have to do better than that. like it can't just be that, because then it's just tokenism. But I think it's starting to sort itself out. I thought that I read two of them. So this is the Native American. He was introduced in the last one, but his story was this one. And the backup story wasn't. Anyway, I thought that was really interesting, because then you have something real to, I was going to say to play with, but it's not really play, you know, like, well, why would a Native American person believe in Captain America or America or whatever? Like, there's a real big gulf there. And, you know, they, I don't know if they solved it, but they thought it through in a way that was interesting enough. I got to say also, because I'm a person of my age, I saw penciler Ron Lim and I was like, fuck yeah. Like, Ron Lim was like the guy when I started reading comics.
The guy.
At 11. You know, and I was like, all right, it's not like the best thing on earth, but it's doing it. It's working for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really fun to see him. And then bringing in John Walker, you know, in addition to the other, you know, three, I thought was a lot of fun.
I do love seeing Steve in that super soldier costume, though.
The Captain Steve suit. That's
the Captain Steve suit. Yeah. That's like my favorite one.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. The backup story, just real quick, from Alyssa Wong and Jody Nishijima, I thought was a little uneven, because basically, like, it's a girl whose boyfriend or who has a guy who, like, beats her up, basically. And then they go and they kind of, like, break into his party, and it's funny, and they steal his phone. And I was like, I feel like this should be more serious than it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a lot. Like, I don't know. It seemed incongruous, I guess. But so you got to have this thing where like a bunch of girls are all dressed like Captain America and they're doing it. And I get that. But like, you know, the bad guy was worse than I think we treated him in a way.
Yep.
You know, it was also like, it's the blonde rich guy whose dad is the one. And it's like, all right, well, I know. We've done that. I like the art, though.
Yep.
That said, I think that I wasn't sure about the series, and I liked this issue and the one before it, and I think it was going in a good direction.
That was interesting also, just to bring Sin back. I feel like I haven't seen Sin in a while.
I thought I had. I thought I was like, didn't we just deal with her? But we're not. We're dealing with the blonde woman who isn't Sin, but I tend to get her mixed up with her. So it's Alexandra, who's...
Yep.
You know what? I'm a little lost on who's who in that part of it. Like Lucan is the Skull, but he's not, and Alexander his daughter, but that's not Sin. I don't know. It was interesting because you're chasing these people around, and then you just find out there's some supervillains that we all know, and I don't know that I don't like that. And I was like, Speed Demon? Oh, he's under mind control. All right.
Okay. That's good.
At one point, they're like, that woman with the German accent. I was like, come on. You're smarter than that. Let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor this week. The show is brought to you in part by, I never say that, but I like saying it, Second Print Comics Podcast. The world of comics characters and universe-shattering continuity can get a little complicated. That's why Connor and I are always so confused. So where's the best place to start? Our friends at the Second Print Comics Podcast have you covered from the viewpoint of two different comic book generations, Mark Claire, early 90s guy, and Remso Martinez, a mid-2000s guy, bring you deep dives in each and every Wednesday into the stories, characters, and events that inspired their comic book fandom. They cover every publisher from Marvel, DC, Image, Valiant, and everything in between. Whether you're a comic book noob or a seasoned collector, this is the best show to revitalize your fanhood and remember why you became a comic book addict to begin with. You can subscribe today on your favorite podcatcher, or head over to secondprintcomics.com, and you too can, as Mark and Remso say, read comics and change the world, end quote. They're also over on Patreon, and they have a special offer for iFanboy patrons. So if you're one of those people, and by the way, just from Josh, thank you, you can check Patreon for details on that. And what it is that if you use the code iFanboy when you sign up, they're going to give you a month free at whatever level it is that you choose to join. And that gives you access to bonus content, including a bunch of other shows, Remso Rants, the Random Marvel Comics podcast, Remso versus the MCU, and this, my favorite, Tales from the Fuck It Pile. there's an asterisk in fuck, but it says fuck, so I read it. Recaps of every Marvel Disney Plus show and much more. That's a lot of content for as little as $5 a month. Again, that's secondprintcomics.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And thanks, folks, for sponsoring the show this week. Let us move along. We have books. We can talk just like Connor and mm-hmm. I can. I thought maybe we'd get out quicker, but I don't think that's going to happen. Now, I know, we've talked, let's see, we just did Marvel. We did a big batch of Marvel there. I didn't do this on purpose. And that brings us into the DC portion, apparently. I know, you were a Marvel guy. You worked at Marvel. You did the thing.
Did the thing.
What are we reading over at DC? Because I'm going to talk about Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Are you with me there? I know you don't like Superman.
I'm with you there.
Okay.
Man... Unpacking what I'm reading from DC these days is a much bigger, harder conversation to have. But I am reading Supergirl.
It's so good.
And basically, it is. It's really good. And man, it is a gorgeous. It's so pretty.
Just out of nowhere, and it's not even like a thing that I would have thought about, or that I don't even think. A lot of times, I can be like, "Oh, that's a Tom King book." I'm not even getting that. This is just.
No.
I've read a great, it's a Supergirl book that is about a character who I don't really know and never really had a bead on, and is in this these few issues is super interesting. I love this. I'm such a fan. And at the end, I'm like, is this the only time anyone's ever done Supergirl like this?
Yeah, it's a really interesting look. And that's, I say that because it's one of those things where I feel like Supergirl for all, a lot of times really has just kind of just been, villain of the week or whatever. And, never really, just dove a bit deeper into the character. And this is doing that, and it's doing it really well.
And it's taken a character that, has all the powers of Superman.
Yeah.
It seems much more complex emotionally. Mm-hmm. He's dealing with things at a different level. And you're watching it through the eyes of this alien girl who's with her, and they're on a quest together. And her Supergirl's morality is on the right side of everything, but it's not manifesting in the same way that it would with Superman. But in this, she has to help a guy dig a mass grave, mm-hmm. And this is not a Clark Kent story with a dress. It's a whole other thing. And just because it's from out of nowhere, wow, that art's gorgeous.
It really is.
Yeah. There's no way this is an American artist. Not just because of the name. It just doesn't look it. But I don't know. I don't know anything about this artist, but it's a thing that I'm excited about every time I see this name, pretty much from now on. Mateus Lopez on colors also. No mean feat there. I look forward to this one so much.
Yeah. It's been a really nice just kind of highlight. When it comes out, I usually put it towards the end of the pile. Mm-hmm.
That means you like it more.
That means I like it more. Okay. Yeah. Well, if it's at the top, the first book I read, and then is like the one I'm the most excited to read. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, the other stuff that I've been following, but then like the last two are the ones I just want to make sure I end on a high note.
Okay. Well, hold on to that because there's going to be a question about reading later that we're going to talk about.
Oh,
so
okay, good.
I could right away I had questions, but we're going to stop. I have the wrong credits on this next one, but the next book we're going to talk about is Frontiersman number one from Image Comics, written by Patrick Kindlin with art by Marco Ferrari and letters by Jim Campbell. This is a new Image number one. And I didn't know what it was going to be, and I didn't know what to expect from it, and I still kind of don't, but I thought it looked great.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where I'm at. Like, there's enough going on in the story that has me intrigued and hooked and want to, like, find out more. The art is the icing on the cake that has me being like, this is why.
Not just that, but like the all the way across the art and, you know, the coloring that is all the artists, but the sort of design of the book's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you though, did you read the bit at the end?
Yeah.
Didn't like it. It basically, like, it's this thing that sort of tells you a little hit from the writer that tells you this little modern history of comics, like in the Image boom in the early 2000s, and then there was a brain drain at Marvel, and I was like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I totally didn't buy it. And so the idea is, we're not trying to be combative. If you love those comics, we're good, but we're confident what we're doing here. This is going to be the best one. You know, like, it's a little bit of the wrestling, you know, like, we're the best thing. But there was a little part ahead of time that was like, you don't have to say Marvel Comics was shit, because it was all the same people. Like, it was like that Image boom where all the people.
Man, it's one of those things where you just don't have to. It's just not necessary.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know if you know how it works, but if you want a career doing this, right now the pool's kind of shallow. So I don't know what the point of that is, you know, and it's just, I don't know. It seemed like a very light read on how this actually works, and it annoyed the shit out of me. It was like, Invincible, Astro City, and Black Hammer are strong examples of work from creators who love, like, I was like, yeah, but Invincible, Astro City, and Black Hammer are all non-corporate takes on corporate characters.
Right.
It's and also, all the people who did that came up through comics.
Big corporate guys.
And are still working there in most, except for Robert Kirkman, who's an actual mogul, to bring that word back.
Who basically is creating his own.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Thing. So it's like.
It kind of rubbed me wrong. And then I went back and I was like, I don't know if I like this book as much. I do think the book was really unique and interesting. Yeah. I don't think it was a perfect first issue. I don't think they quite knew how to do what they wanted to do from the beginning. But it's a hell of a package to do it in. Nightwing, number 84. This little run, I don't know how long it's going to go. It's ongoing. Tom Taylor. This is Connor's favorite thing on earth. And
I love Tom Taylor.
He's so good.
He's just so good.
It's stupid. However, in this one, Dick goes to Gotham City, and there are all sorts of things going on in Gotham City, to the point that I texted Connor and I said, is this stuff all happening in Batman? And he's like, yes, and it's awful. And I was like, it is awful. So, by the way, that's Connor's read on this book, too. He's like, I liked a third of it, not so much the rest. So they've gone and they've taken this wonderful Nightwing book and driven it into the part of Batman that I don't want to read and I don't understand what's happening. And so we just sort of suffer through it. Sort of how I felt.
And that's it, right? Like, I just, I love a good Batman and, like, you know, Dick team up, right? Sure. Like, that's, it just, it felt fun. It felt just kind of like a, you know, nice kind of, you know, classic romp there. Like, I don't like what's going on in Fear State with the Batman books.
It's like, so it's Judge Dredd?
Yeah, basically.
Ugh.
But in the entire city.
Ugh.
Yeah, and so like so it felt like a bright spot. Like I read Nightwing because I actually, you know, like I like what Tom is doing in Nightwing, yeah. And this felt like one of those just like, you know, it happens all the time, obligatory crossover. Mm-hmm. You know, gotta tie in, and it felt like it just tied in enough, but not, you know, not committing the whole way, which is usually the best kind.
I think so. It was as good as you could do with what, you know, they had to do.
Yep.
But it was a detour from what had been, has been, and continue to be a really enjoyable little Dick Grayson book. Because the other thing is this, like the story that's going on in Nightwing right now, it's great. I don't want to go sideways from it. Let's keep going with it. Don't need to go to Gotham for that. It's a Bloodhaven story. It just seems early. I want to say this is the, I don't know what number is, fourth issue, fifth, sixth, you know, something of the run. It's, I always get upset. Like, we're moving on a good track. I want to keep going on that. No, don't go over there now. some people get away with it. But
yeah,
it was the weakest of the issues so far, though.
For sure.
And that brings us to the patron pick. The patrons. I'm going to tell you guys about that later. I'm going to do it quickly, but I bet you understand. But that's all the comics that we wanted to talk about. And every week, the patrons vote. Folks that go to patreon.com/ifanboy, they vote on the book that they want us to read and review. And this week it was The Death of Doctor Strange #1 by, you've heard this name before, Jed MacKay, with art by Lee Garbett, and color by Antonio Sabella, and letters by Corey Pettit. Well, why don't I let you take, you know about this stuff. What do you think of The Death of Doctor Strange?
I was super skeptical, and then I read the book, got to the end, and I'm like, oh, got me. I'm in. and I love when that happens.
Well, you're right, because the idea of the death of whatever, you can name any character and you will know of an arc where that happened.
Right. And so it's always a question of, okay, well, how are they going to do this one? How are they going to handle it?
And the best way is to sort of sidestep what that is and what that means. But it's difficult to do that in a way that we haven't seen before. Now, if you've been reading Doctor Strange for a while, and Doctor Strange is a character who's had a great arc, and over the course of that time, I want to say that, did it start with Jason Aaron when they sort of revamped at the #1 of whatever? You know, from Jason Aaron to Mark Waid and to Donny Cates and to whoever the last one, I might be getting mixed up a little. You know, each person built on what had come before. Magic has a cost, blah, blah, blah. And that sort of leads us into this. And it's been 5 years, 6 years of like sort of solid Doctor Strange comics. And so it actually kind of makes sense that we were leading to something and that this would be that thing. I really enjoyed it. I thought it made sense. You know, they're going to kill him or do whatever. You know, they had a sense of movement and inevitability that I think played really well, but it didn't play in exactly the same way that you expected it to. And then the last page was a really good last page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, getting to be a little more rare because it's so expected. But, you know, the thing is, you know, here's your spoiler for the thing. Doctor Strange does, in fact, die modern day, you know, and then, you know, someone knocks on the door and in the old timey Ditko era, Doctor Strange walks in. He's like, well, if I've been released, that means the worst has happened. Let's move quickly. You know, and I was like, fuck yeah.
Yep. Yep. I'll tell you what, though, too. So I have not been reading Doctor Strange almost at all recently. I think I read the short stint that Donnie did. So that's how I know who Bats is. But other than that, like I bet like that happened. And then I checked out, and then I thought that was going to be a problem coming into this, and it 100% wasn't.
No.
And again, right, like that just goes back to what we've said about Jed before, where he just has a knack.
That's a really interesting skill.
Yeah.
Like if you think about folks who have skills like that, like I've always said that like Brian K. Vaughan is the master of the one issue with a cliffhanger ending. He can do it every time, and, you know, which is what's in this. And maybe Jed MacKay's thing is that he's the ultimate jump on man.
Yeah.
Like you could just start reading it.
But like I loved the, you know, just that felt like the whole kind of first opening scene where, you know, Bats is making sure that Strange is getting his morning walk in. And just like There's, you know, just like little jokes like that, like just help kind of move the story along in a way that, you know, because there is a lot of exposition in this book, but as someone who has not read Doctor Strange in a while, found it incredibly useful. And so to be able to balance all of that exposition with, you know, fun jabs at making sure that, Doctor Strange is getting his steps in, it was good. And like, I love the comparison, you know, I guess now Strange is doing, you know, surgery again, which is cool. But like the idea as, you know, he can be a doctor of medicine is a cool idea. Or sorry, a doctor of magic is a cool idea, but like a literal doctor in the sense, not mm-hmm. like, you know, whatever. It gets you. And like, I love that it touches upon Strange Academy a little bit, like a book that is on my radar, but not a book that I have read, you know, at all.
So good.
Introduces that, like, I know what it is and the concept of it and all that. And so like to introduce, you know, that aspect into this and then basically to like play up every magic user in the Marvel universe, in this was just like a cool thing to see. Generally not one that you do see, and so, you know, I kind of like that we're getting like a magic based event.
Well, it feels like we, you know, Doctor Strange was this character. If I go back to sort of when we started doing this show or in the mid 2000s or early 2000s, you know, Doctor Strange was this character who existed in a legacy. And he was one of those characters that when they asked pros, like, who would you like to work on? They always said Doctor Strange. Like, that was the thing.
Yep.
But he never really established a presence until just before, you know, the movie was coming out and they started this thing. And I think that was Jason Aaron still was the first one to do that. And he started this. And over that time, since then, they've built up this new, like they reseeded him almost. Like there's a cast of characters around him that's unique to his books. You know, there's and sort of a reestablishing of Baron Mordo. And you know, you've got Rick Remender did this before that, but they brought in Dr. Voodoo.
Brother Voodoo.
Brother Voodoo became Dr. Voodoo, whatever.
Yep.
But now he's part of that family. You know, then you've got Zelda and you've got this Strange Academy people and bats. And so he's got, you know, he's got a family. He's got a world of people that he exists in that is not the same. And then the other problem you have is that you know, he was getting written to be basically exactly the same as Tony Stark for a while.
Yes.
I think they got away from that. But if I had any, not a complaint, a thing I noticed about this Doctor Strange is that what I thought is, boy, he's really getting further away from what he was before. You know, like his suit is in the style, but, you know, it's a little different in how they're handling. And then so what they do at the very end of this book is they go, nah, here's the real Doctor Strange. And you go, oh, wow, I haven't seen this guy in a while. You know, it's the same guy, but it's not. And I just thought that was a really, like, it was a full 360. They brought us right back around to where it started.
Yeah.
And introduced this guy into the story.
And just even, like, just in, like, even adding the detail of, like, the background of the portal that he comes in is, like, is just, like, it's it. It's like, you know, Ditko Strange just, like, stepped off the page.
And it's
like,
heavy, right, Ditko. We haven't talked about Lee Garbett. Lee Garbett, who is doing, oh, what is the name of that book with Joe Henderson? The Shadow book? Maybe it's Shadow something. He'd done the Sky. Oh, Christ.
Skyfall.
Skyfall?
Or not Skyfall. No, it was
Air Up. Whatever. The Joe Henderson. They're both good books, and he's a great artist. And I was surprised to see him on a very big book, and he's a great
Skyward
artist.
Skyward was the first one, and Shadecraft is the one that
there you go
on.
Both good books. I enjoy them. Sounds like you're catching up to me in age. I know the word, I just can't find it. You know, but you know, he's one of those guys like, oh, this is a great comic book storyteller, and now he's getting a chance on a big profile. Not a new guy, he's been around a long time.
Lee Garbett's been around,
but you know, sort of on the side. And I just thought, you know, he did a great job with this. Perfect artist for this.
For sure.
So it was a good time. So that brings us to ratings. Ratings. On the 1 to 5 scale, what would you give this one?
Solid 4 for me. Because I really enjoyed it. Having not read Doctor Strange in a really long time, I want to see where this goes. I'm this, you know, when we'll get to talk to it, this book, when it comes out, probably moves to the top of the pile.
Nice. Nice. I think I'm also going to go with a solid 4. It wasn't like, it didn't blow the doors off everywhere, but it was,
no,
it was exactly what it should have been. And it hit all the things that it should. And it was, it can move up from here. So that's good. Yeah. 4. So you're sticking with it, obviously.
I'm sticking with it.
As am I. So the next port, Connor is the one, by the way, who does the segues between sections, and I don't do it, and I'm not good at it. And when I start to do it on the show that he's not on, I feel very awkward. So
Josh, when you're doing a great job.
Thanks. But when I feel awkward, I make sure to tell everybody so that they don't know that, so that they know that I know also, because I don't want right. them to think I don't know. Like, oh, poor Josh. No, he knows. Okay, so we did the patron pick, so now we have the patron powers. I feel like this is supposed to be on the other side of the Patreon talk, but it's not, and I'm doing it this way because I'm in charge this week, damn it. So we've got our patron powers, and if the people give at $5 or higher, get on a list, and they will get a patron power when it's their turn. And actually, I recognize a lot of these names from our community. I've been around for a long time, and I was like, oh, cool. We'll find that we'll be able to give these to folks out who've been here for the long run. Now I have a note here. Here it is. And the first one up is Matt. I'm guessing it's Colbert, but I guess it could be Colbert, but probably not. I've seen your name around for years, but I never thought about how to pronounce it until just now. But what Matt does is he makes friends with vegetables. If there's some vegetables around, he will befriend them. Suddenly a personality that you did not know existed in that rutabaga or broccoli stalk, he makes friends with those vegetables, and it doesn't mean, by the way, that they don't want to be eaten. They're not the same kind of. They're not like people, you know. But they have personalities, and they're friendly towards him, and that's what Matt does. He becomes friends with vegetables. It's weird. I give it to you.
All right. Looks like I've got one for Brian Davis. Brian Davis has the uncanny ability to look at a yard that may be overgrown. And
I love it when they reflect your personality more than anything. It's my favorite.
Snap of the fingers. That is cut, manicured, edged and all.
Huh.
He is the ultimate landscaper.
Let me ask you this. And I'm going to be careful here. Your yards require maintenance. There's a couple of different dad theories on this. One of them is, well, I can go outside and work on this for an hour and no one's going to bother me about anything. So there's a benefit to it. But then for me, that ends very quickly with making it perfect, because who gives a shit? It's going to grow again in 12 minutes. So when you said edging, I was like, that's a thing people do.
Yep.
Not me though.
Yeah. No, that's an extra like 15-20 minutes outside, man.
Our house like had all this beautiful like greenery because it was just like two retired dudes who lived here and didn't have anything else to do, so it was perfect. And then when we got here, I've never had a yard my entire life, so I didn't know what to do with anything. And if I look at pictures from when we moved into now, I was like, oh, we're surrounded by jungle now. I hadn't realized that was happening. You know, I mow the lawn. I'm good at that. Other than that, I just want to burn the weeds and call it a day. Don't like it. Dougie Sharp, who he's got a thing about potatoes, like in real life. Like, that's a thing. And I think he likes big weapons. I don't think I'm getting him mixed up with somebody else. But I had to make sure that I didn't change one of those into the thing for him, because I don't want to make it exactly it. But Dougie can raise an army of collectible figures. Like, if he needs to raise an army, he can call forth the forces of all available collectible figures, and they will animate and come to his beck and call for either the defense of the realm, or if they are going to be, they could be an offensive threat. That's really up to Dougie, but it can get pretty formidable, and like, they're all pretty well armed, those figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Can raise an army of collectible figures.
Chris McClelland can smoke meat perfectly. You will never,
Connor,
get a dry. You will never get a dry brisket from Chris McClelland, and like, he doesn't even have to do anything.
That's
right.
I don't know if people realize like how supernatural that power is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It makes you It'll make you a superstar wherever you go. Fame and fortune will now fall into Chris's hands because of this.
He could be an official pit boss.
That's right.
Boss of pits. Can I tell you that one time I had a smoker, like a big cast iron smoker a long time ago, that my friends bought me for my wedding. It was nice, but when we moved out of California, I couldn't take it. And one time I said, that's it, I'm going to do it. And I bought like a brisket, like a full on, and it was expensive. And back then I was broke. And so like spending like $60 on a cut of meat in the early to mid 2000s was like a big deal. And I put the seasoning on it, and then I couldn't figure out which side had the fat on it.
Oh.
And so I put it in there, because you're supposed to put the fat on top, so therefore it drips down. Because if you put it the other way, all of the moisture will run out, and you'll end up with a piece of leather. And
that's right.
I guessed wrong, and I just killed it. And
oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so I could have used that power.
That is a sad story.
It's a sin. I recognize it as the sin it is. I feel bad for the cow. I feel bad for the wood that was wasted on it. It just... But literally, I put the stuff on and I went, wait a minute, which side's the fat? And I could not figure it out. And now, what I should have done, because I, you know, was just cut the damn thing and gone, oh, there it is. But I just made a guess. And I have a long history of when faced with two choices, and I have to feel like I have to guess a little, I'm always wrong. I get lost constantly. I'm not allowed to like navigate because I will make the wrong choice. And not only will I make the wrong choice, the next time I come around and I'm faced with the same choice, I will use the same logic I used to make the wrong choice the first time again. Yeah. I need a power based on that.
Mm. Are you a smoker?
That's what I meant. Have you tried smoking a brisket? You must have.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Have you done?
I stick everything in the smoker at this point now.
Nice.
Like I got one, and it's like, well, I'm never barbecuing again. I'm just going to wake up at 9 in the morning and stick it in the smoker and eat it at 6.
Is it like one of the like is it a, you plug it in, or is it electric smoker, or is it like you have to stoke a fire all day?
It is an electric smoker, but not fancy enough that it has a like one of those like thermometers or whatever. Like it's got a knob. I turn the knob, but I've got it down to a point where like I know how it heats. I know how it what I need, and love it.
So my smoker was like a giant cast iron thing, and so you had a fire and you had to keep it consistent. And it was like all day. So it was like a really cool, like, oh, this is a manly thing to do. But like halfway through, it was like, being a man sucks. like, and literally what would happen is like, I would end up feeling sick at the end of the day because I had inhaled so much smoke. And everyone else would be like, these ribs are great. And I was like, I'm going to throw up. And so for a little while, like the smoke flavor would make me nauseous because of that. But people told me the food was good. I'm a griller. If I'm going to be like, I'm a griller. I'm very good at grilling many kinds of meats. But I'm not a good smoker.
Yeah.
All right. We are running long because that's what happens when two old pals get together and Connor isn't here to tell you to move forward. Let me tell you about patreon.com/iFanboy very quickly. I'm going to do this the short version. You have heard two sections of the show already, which have been regular editions and are a lot of fun. The patron pick and the patron powers that came about because of Patreon. There are other shows that have been unlocked. There's the Talksplodes, the interview shows, the Booksplodes, which are where we talk about a book, but not like a weekly comic, like a different kind of thing. The Media Splodes, which is now a monthly show, where we talk about stuff that isn't comics. The YouTube shows are being uploaded, you know, to be up there for posterity, or you know, until society collapses, and then I don't know how long the servers will keep going. But either way, and then there's the monthly patron hangouts. There's a new stretch goal on there where we're going to add, if we reach the next one, a comic book TV show special edition where we will talk about a series, like a season of comic book TV, because we just lost. We're like, we can't keep up anymore. We're not going to do this. So that's a way to bring this back. So that's up there. There's also the patron Facebook group and the patron Discord server, which really brought the community aspect back to this this iFanboy thing in a way that I think that we'd all missed. I will remember that Discord is there sometimes. I'm not on Facebook anymore, so you'll have to do it without me. You can go over to iFanboy.threadless.com where you can find 11 designs. I got to get my Clint is Dead t-shirt. because at the end, all we know is that Hawkeye, Clint, he's dead. One way or another, Whoever you're seeing out there, he's dead. They can be put on t-shirts and sweatshirts and notebooks and bath mats and phone covers and like a stunning array of things that you can put them on. You can get a Clint Eastwood skateboard and that fits right on there. It's a skull. It looks awesome. You can go to ifanboy.com/support if you just want to find a PayPal link there and you don't want to deal with any of that stuff and you want to, the virtual chip jar. Then there's ifanboy.com/Amazon where that is a link from us that is an affiliate link. And if you go to it, then you'll just be at Amazon. But they'll be like, hey, you guys sent them. Here's a cut. And that works well for me. It doesn't cost you anything. I like that. And that is all. I got through that relatively quickly enough. We are running long, but I'm gonna do one. Let's do one email, and then then we'll wrap this up. Anthony from Maine, and I could do the accent, but I'm not going to because I don't need to. I lived it. He says he struggles. When they say they're from Maine, I really don't know where in Maine because it's a big state, and depending on what part you live in, like it's kind of normal or really not normal. You know, to say the rest of American life. He says, I struggle each week with reading my small select stack of comics, along with keeping up with my favorite podcasts, including all of the iFanboy offerings. Thank you. And occasionally streaming a show or movie that catches the fancy of me and my wife. And my life is not overly complicated. My question is, how do you do it? How do you find the time to not only read a larger, perhaps less selective stack of digital comics, along with consuming lots of other media and books that serve as the basis for your other monthly shows? So the thing here is, I've answered this question a lot of times, but I wonder this about you. Mm. Like every once in a while, when we don't talk to people all the time, I wonder how anybody else actually keeps up with regular weekly comics. Yeah. And I know that you run comicbook.com, so it would make sense that you can, but you've worked at professional comic book places. Most people don't have time to read the books.
No.
So where are you at?
That's true. It's my reading for enjoyment list is a lot smaller these days. And I've become way more discernible on books that, you know, that I like and enjoy. And like I said, like, you know, I am fortunate in the position that I am now. I do not have to read every book anymore. Right. Or feel that, you know, the stress of that. I mean, like when I was at Marvel, like I had to read every book. I needed to know what was going on because that's what I was selling, basically, right?
And then and you had to, like, remember, like you had to take it in.
Oh, I have an encyclopedic knowledge of Marvel Comics from 2009 to, you know, basically like 2015, right? Like, and it's like all the stuff that's like now starting to become adapted and whatnot. It's like, right. I was there for all of it. I know it, all of it, every single piece. But really, like, it just comes down to just, you know, not even for watching too, right? Like there are very few things that I will, like, as soon as they're available, like get out and watch. And like on the multimedia front, it's a bit tough for me because like I have to. And so I could do that.
You can do it during the day. It's your day job.
I can do it during the day. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. So like I'm watching screeners during the day. And so I don't have to wake up at, you know, odd hours to catch a thing. Or if I don't get a screener, right. Like for like, What If that's happening now, like it'll just be the first thing I turn on when I sit down to come down and work. But like, you know, I watch The Blacklist on Netflix when they release it a season at a time. And when that comes out, I am watching that every chance I get. If I'm doing laundry, I'm turning on an episode of The Blacklist. Am I doing dishes? I'm turning on an episode of The Blacklist until I'm done with it. And then I move on to like something else. But there'll be a lot of times where I actually do, like, I watch more things as like background noise. Like I'll have Family Guy on as background noise for me. Because it's a show
when
where
you say
like,
background noise, do you mean that while you're working on some things?
Or like, no, when I'm like doing other things, right? Like, well, like, you know, when I'm doing laundry or dishes or whatever, or like putting a table together. I don't know, like anything, any of that stuff. Like I'll just turn something on. Again, like, you know, show like Family Guy's perfect because it's basically just a string of jokes. I can pay attention at any point, not feel terribly lost and be like, oh, okay, I got it. During the day, during work, I find myself watching Twitch way more than I thought I would. And it's not just like Twitch has become way more than people just playing video games. There's a lot of that, and I watch a bit of that. But like oddly enough, there's a group of people who role play in Grand Theft Auto 5 or Grand Theft Auto Online, basically on a modded server that's just for streamers. And I will find myself there's two or three that I really like, and when they're on, I will watch. But when they come up like with other people, the server has set up a website that basically looks like it's thumbnails of every screen of everyone who is streaming on that server. And I will go and find that new person because I want to know what their side of this conversation feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause I know the person I'm watching has a crazy character. I want to go find like this person in like what they are feeling and how like their chat is basically reacting to this. It's totally bizarre.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know, it's crazy. But then, too, right? Like, then I'll watch people, you know, play Call of Duty or Apex or whatever. And like that to me is easier background noise because sure. I can totally tune that out if I need to. The other thing, I have a hard time watching like, you know, episodes of stuff because I feel like I have to be invested in it. I have to watch it kind of thing.
Do you have an attention span problem?
Then my wife and I will come up with a list of things that we want to watch together, and sure. we slow burn it, right? Like right. We're in a place now where you don't have to watch anything live anymore, and it's a curse and a blessing. And but you know, for the things that we want to do together that we enjoy, like we take it at our own pace. Mm-hmm. Like right now, we're watching that Stanley Tucci Eat Through Italy show. That's on
I watched
scene.
A little of that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Connor loved it. It's interesting because I actually don't watch much TV on my own. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't sit down by myself and watch TV. TV that I watch is either, like, my wife and I will watch something together. This is mm-hmm. We're watching, like, four or five shows now. Like, current shows, mm-hmm. which is really weird. We haven't done that forever. They just all happen to be on right now. You know, during the day when I'm working, some of the tasks that I need to do, I can put a TV show on my other monitor, and sometimes it's mm-hmm. something that like, it's never anything like that is really intense and great. It's usually something that I've seen before. You know, like, sure. I'm watching The Wire again. I'll watch things like that because
yeah.
I can miss them. You know, I can't watch anything with subtitles.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like I watch the Marvel shows like that because I kind of have to, and that's what I, you know, they don't actually require that much attention, you know, or I'll watch documentaries, like whatever it is. That's sort of when I watch just like random stuff, whatever. As long as I'm not writing something or having to do something that I have to pay attention to, it actually helps me focus, oddly enough. Or I'll put on old movies or whatever. Other than that, like at night when everybody goes to bed, I tend to play video games. Like that's what I tend to do at night. Sometimes I'll watch a movie, but not that often by myself.
What do you play?
Lately, I've been playing NBA 2K22. I was playing 21 and I got like addicted in a bad way, and I kind of didn't expect it, but this is part of my third midlife crisis. It's like I'm gonna care about basketball a little bit again. Before that I was playing, you know, I played Assassin's Creed Valhalla for like 6 months, and it kept crashing on me, and then or it kept like glitching on me, and I'd have to wait so that I could finish it. I played Forza Horizon 4 for quite a while. And I tend to like, I get into a game, like I do a game, and that'll be what I do every night. And it's compulsive. I don't even like it, but like I have to keep going until I don't want to do it anymore. And that's usually very clear. There's a point where I just go, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's over.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man, you and I game way different. Like I need games that I can jump in and out of, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can do something 20 minutes and like if I want to do it again, okay, great, I'll do it. If not, then like then I'm out. I've made my small investment and that's it. I've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight, which is a fascinating game where it's basically just like classic horror killers. You know, and you can either play as the killer or the survivor, and like I said, matches don't really go more than 20 minutes. I'm in and out.
Yeah.
And that's it. Otherwise, it's like Fortnite or whatever. Yeah. But
I can't play. Like, I don't play with other people usually because I suck. Unless, like, I just get my ass handed to me over and over. It's no fun. Yeah,
that's fair.
And it has to be, like, late at night. There's a couple of other things about us. I think that we have in common that most people don't. I'm always home. I work from home. I'm here. Mm-hmm. I am in my office. I have two monitors. I can throw something up on one. Like, I don't get to play games during the day because I'm doing shit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's different. Most people don't get to do that. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then the other thing, I stay up too late. Like, I don't get enough sleep. That's honestly, like, the thing. Like, my wife goes to sleep, and then there's a period between, you know, 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. where nobody's asking me for anything, and I'm just like, oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I will play a game and just sort of hang out. Yeah, so that's how. I don't think that's typical.
No.
But also, we just, like, the nature of this thing is that we have to watch a lot of things. And so,
sure.
Like, the comics reading part for me is just, like, this is my second job. Wednesday and Thursday nights, I have to read comics. My wife says, what are you doing tonight? I go, got to read comics. She's like, oh, okay. And that means that from, you know, 9 p.m. until 1 a.m., I'm reading.
Yeah. But what I would say to Anthony is, don't feel like you need to consume it all. If you do,
you can't.
You can't. But do it at your own pace.
Yeah.
Right. Like there is an aspect of stuff that, like, you need to watch so you can, you know, be a part of the conversation. Right. Like, you know, if you're a comics fan, you're probably a big Marvel Studios fan. And so you're watching the Disney Plus shows, like, as they happen, or the Star Wars, you know, shows as they happen. But, like, if you don't care, like, even if there's a part of you that's just like, I don't know if I care that much, then just don't. And watch it when you can. Cause that's what I do with comics. Like, I'm now working, like, I basically realized that I had a blind spot of, like, the last 3 years worth of books. Mm-hmm. And I'm now, like, just looking at reviews or whatever, and just, like, or I'm, like, picking characters that I want to read, and I'm just going back to see if I like it or not. And half the time, I don't. And so then I just, like, okay, I move on to the next one.
I mean, I think that we're past the point where you need to watch anything, you know, there's too much, and you have to accept there are going to be things out there that you would like a lot, and you're never going to have time to see them or be able to.
I have what I feel at times, I guess, is a very weird, a rare look at spoilers. I don't care about spoilers. Spoilers do not ruin things for me. Because of what I do, I am spoiled constantly about this stuff.
And
I don't know
spoiling.
If that's because... right, but yeah, sure. But I don't know if that, like, has made me callous to it. But I've never really been that way anyway. To me, it's all about the journey. And if I happen to know where the journey ends, that's fine. But the journey is the most important part for me. And so if I'm digging the ride, then I'm in. Knowing who shows up at the end or whatever, like, I still experience that moment, even though I know who it is, because it's still. If it's played right, it's still fucking cool.
I disagree with you entirely. No, only in that, like, I guess I'm very traditional in the sense of, like, these people have crafted a story, and if I know what is going, I have a hard enough time watching anything and getting lost in it anyway. So I'm always, like, if I know what's going to happen, I figure out what's going to happen a lot. Like, my wife hates me for it. Like, I will be like, oh, that's the killer. She's like, stop doing that. Or, you know, like, whatever it is. Not like that's a bad example. Yeah. But so, like, I want to have the experience. Like, that's why it's the same thing that makes me get angry at people at the movies who talk or interrupt my experience at all. Because that wasn't the point. The point is to have the experience, and that's part of it. Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You can go either way. Anyway, we're getting off base. It's getting late. Yep. I think that was more than enough answer for you. If you want to write in, you can do so at contact@ifanboy. You have until Christ. Connor emailed me, texted me this. Our 800th show is coming up, which is an all email show. And you have until Friday, October 1st at noon Eastern or 9 a.m. Pacific to send in your questions. You have to put 800 in the subject line. And then you can ask a question there. And we'll go as long as we can. So there, I did the job. Christ, I don't want him to get mad at me. and you can write Media Splode in there if it's for the Media Splode show, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm just going to run through these. Hey, you remember that Talksplode show that I've been talking about doing? It was really late on forever. Well, I put one out this past week with Matthew Rosenberg. And we talked about his new book, What's the Farthest... I hate... That's a long title, and I knew I was going to get it wrong. What's the Farthest Place from Here? I believe. And I read the first issue, and it was fantastic. And he's got this really cool product thing that he's doing with it. I actually pre-ordered it. I have not pre-ordered a comic in, no, I shit you not, 20 years. So I pre-ordered this thing because I want the record that comes with the special version of that, although you don't need to do it. I just really like Matt. I think he does great comic books. He did that Thunderbolts, King of Black Thunderbolts series that we loved so much. He's doing the Joker Puzzle Box digital series that's like a good Joker book. I know, it's crazy. I could have talked to him forever. It was super fun. We just did a Media Explode that came out last week, which is mostly about disaster movies, what great disaster movies we love.
Nice.
And there's a special edition of the Batman Long Halloween Part 2 from the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
From the... I don't do that. I don't do those animated shows. I have no need to watch those. I also have no need to watch most of the comic book TV shows out there. So that helps too. You can, Lynn, next week, of course, is our 800th episode, the live stream, October 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I believe Ryan Haupt, new father Ryan Haupt, is going to join us. And I mean, you've seen drunk people, but have you seen a dad of a newborn try to do a 3-hour podcast? I mean, I did it, but it was like 10 years ago, so it'll be fun. There's another Talksplode coming. I have it sorted out. It is going to come out the same week as an important book that is going to come out, and I'm going to do it just that way. And this time, the person will not ignore me because he checked with me the other day. He's like, "We're still doing this?" I said, "Yes." So that will happen. I don't like to say anything more because I will jinx it. We are not going to talk about Shang-Chi until it's on streaming. We don't have to go to the theater for that. Here, you do this next part. The iFanboy.com. You know where I am?
Oh, all right. Here we go.
Yeah, do that.
Head on over to iFanboy.com to find all of their shows and their vast history of comic book writing from all of their talented writers. Like facebook.com/iFanboy and follow at iFanboy on Twitter and at iFanboy Comics on Instagram. You can find out what the pick of the week is before the show even comes out. Otherwise, wow. you can follow me at Jim Viscardi everywhere.
Nice work. You can follow me and Connor on Instagram. It's the only place we're still on. C.S. Kilpatrick and J.A. Flanagan. And then there's the YouTube page at youtube.com/iFanboy. The video shows are getting re-uploaded. We're heading into the final part for the full-size shows, but there's many, many minis left. Many, many minis. It's fun to say. This week, there's a pick of the week about...
Is that the revision 3 days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, those. Oh, yeah.
We stopped doing it. Like, we never didn't do it with revision 3. Because they paid us to do it, and that was that was the greatest job I ever had, and I was poor as shit. the mini this last week is the pick of the week, Final Crisis number 2. So if you want to know what we thought about a random ass book 12 years ago, that's your place to go. We did a long form show on letterists, colorists, and inkers who should be resentful that we lumped them all together. But that is sort of the lot of the letterist, colorist, and inkers, is that you're just being lumped in with something else. And then finally, there's a vault show, which is where we sort of each grabbed a different book and talked about it. And these were war books. We did Sergeant Rock, Between Hell and a Hard Place, War Stories, and The Nam. And so if you like the show, write us a review or leave us a star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is you get your podcast. The earlier show called it a podcatcher, which is a term I've heard, but I've never actually said out loud before. Better yet, you know, say the word, post on social media, tell people about it, tell your letter carrier about it, tell your army of animated collectible figures about it. They might have
better yet. When you leave a review, just tell them how much the episodes that have Jim Viscardi in them, how much they mean to you.
Don't you have enough? I mean, you were a kid. You were a fan. We've known you. Now you are the mogul. You dwarf us. Don't you? When will it be enough, Jim?
I'm just saying.
All right.
Maybe I'll get asked back more.
That's my fault. No, this is honestly my fault. I don't plan, and I find it's my turn. Also, there haven't been as many guest shows because we've been stuck at home for 2 years. So that really put a hamper on our available guest spot shots. Hey, if you ever want to come on, and I don't just be like, hey, I want to come on the show soon, we will fit you in.
No,
I promise.
I'm gonna call Connor out here because I don't think I've ever done a show with Connor before.
Right. Well, he doesn't trust you.
Nope, does not.
No basis in there. All right, that's it. It says I'm Connor and I'm Josh, but that's incorrect. So you're Jim.
That's right.
Thank you so much. This was super fun.
I love it.
Cool. All right. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.